Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Tonight we will be speaking to you about the anointing, hallelujah, and the seven attributes of the anointing tonight, because tonight we believe that God is going to release those attributes. Tonight also we're blessed because we know you're going to win the battle. Somebody ought to say, I've been destined to win the battle against satanic power. Amen. Let's show how through the anointing we do this. The first supernatural secret of the anointing that we want to share with you is how the anointing makes us the personal possession of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Psalm 89, looking at verse 20. The Bible says, I have found my servant David. With my holy oil, I have anointed him. You know, I used to always think I have found my servant David. I did not quite understand what that meant, and I thought maybe God was just looking for a vessel. But what that really means, beloved saints, is I have found my servant David. This is the word matzah in Hebrew, which means to take possession of. Say this with me. I want to become the property of the Holy Spirit. And I want him to take possession of my life. Hallelujah. Do you realize, do you know what it is when the Holy Spirit takes possession of his property? That means we're totally submitted, totally surrendered to whatever he asks at any time he wants us to surrender. I have found my servant David with my holy oil. I have anointed him. In other words, I have taken possession of someone who has surrendered totally of self to me. And the Bible tells us in verse 22, if we look at the text, the enemy, oh my goodness, the enemy cannot afflict him. The Bible says the enemy shall not exact upon him, or the son of wickedness afflict him. When the anointing is on our life, the enemy cannot rob us. Put your hands up right now. Say this with me. The enemy is not going to exact any of the promises that God has given unto my life. Oh, hallelujah. Nothing's going to be exacted or stolen or taken that God has ordained for me to have in Jesus' name. And somebody should give the Lord the praise. Hallelujah. Let's go over this just for 1 second in a little bit of detail. I didn't think I was going to go in this direction because this was really for the earlier service, but I'm feeling led to share it with this service as well. In 1 Samuel chapter 11, let me show you what it looks like when the enemy exacts upon us. And I want us to look, if you will, at 1 Samuel chapter 11, and we will be looking at verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. This is what it means, and this is how we know if the anointing is drying up in our life. Say this with me. Not an old anointing, not yesterday's anointing, but a fresh anointing. Did you realize there are some of us who go on an anointing from 2 years ago or an anointing from 3 years ago? We don't have fresh oil. The Bible says in Psalm 92, verse 10, you will exalt my strength like the strength of an ox. And the Bible says, and you shall anoint my head with fresh oil. How many want fresh oil today, not yesterday's anointing? Say this with me. You cannot pour new wine into an old wineskin. We have to stay yielded and pliable and surrendered to whatever the Holy Spirit is asking us. But let us look at this very profound text that we find in 1 Samuel chapter 11. The Bible says, then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, make a covenant with us and we will serve you. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them and said, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out your right eyes. Oh, my goodness. that I may thrust out your right eyes and lay it up for a reproach of all of Israel. We're going to interpret this not only literally, but we want the supernatural secret of this word. We want the personal, powerful, prophetic meanings of these texts to be revealed to us. So in the natural, Nahash was the king of the Ammonites. Nahash is a title, a generic title for the Ammonite kings, the same way that Ahimelech was the, Abimelech rather, was the generic title for the kings of the Philistines, and just as for Amalek, Agag is a generic title for the kings of the Amalekites, and also Pharaoh is a generic title for the Egyptian kings. Nahash was a generic title for the Ammonites, and we see that the Ammonites are invading the area of Jabesh-Gilead, and the people immediately want to surrender to him. Now, if we look at this, there is a prophetic agenda that the prophet Samuel wants to teach us about losing the anointing. And that is that, notice what it says in verse 2. In verse 2, it says, actually in verse 1, it says, Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. But all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us and we will serve you. I want you to see that from the very beginning, the prophet Samuel is going to change the name from Jabesh-Gilead to just Jabesh. And I want to explain to you why. Because throughout the text in this narrative, he's not going to use Jabesh-Gilead as a full name for the location anymore, except in one other place. He has changed it just to Jabesh. And Jabesh in Hebrew means dry. It means dried up. And the only way we can understand dried up is when we look at the valley of the dry bones. Because something that's dried up is void of the anointing. Turn to your neighbor and say, hallelujah, when you start surrendering to Nahash, you know that you're drying up. Okay. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't surrender your territory to Nahash. Okay, now, if you you and I look at this name Nahash, this is a very unusual name to name a king. Because notice, the name king is removed. It just says Nahash. The scripture is not honoring him with that name. But Nahash in Hebrew means serpent. And so, now, the Bible is teaching us something very personal, powerful, prophetic, and relevant. Because the people of Jabesh, the place that's dried up, have surrendered to Nahash, to the serpent. Are you hearing me, saints? Because they said, make a covenant with us and we will serve you. So in other words, the reason that they're making a covenant with the king of the Ammonites is the king of the Ammonites has threatened to come in and take over their territory. And rather than fight the king, they'd rather surrender their land to the king. You know, today we have a lot of people that call themselves anointed, but they're not willing to fight for their territory. They've dried up, and how do we know that the first sign that we're drying up spiritually is when we begin to surrender to the spirit that wants to take our anointing. Put your hands up right now and say, I'm not surrendering to Nahash. Oh, somebody ought to give God the praise and say, I'm going to fight this thing out. Say this with me. The anointing has been given to me to fight. Not to surrender to the spirit of Nahash what God has called me to do. Thank you, Lord. Let's give God the praise and give God the glory. Now, if we look at verse 2, beloved saints, we see in verse 2, and Nahash the Ammonite answered and said, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out your right eyes and lay it up for a reproach in all throughout Israel. So what he was going to do, this wicked thing, is to cast out everyone's right eye and send it to all the villages in Israel so people would actually see this is how wicked this king is, and he's ruling over us, and through intimidation and manipulation, you better surrender to Nahash. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not going to allow the enemy to manipulate or intimidate me out of my territory. And the very first thing that the enemy, Nahash, wants to do is take your spiritual sight away from you so you cannot discern anymore from good or evil. Are you with me, beloved saints? Say in the name of Jesus, I'm not surrendering to Nahash. Now, hallelujah, glory to God. Now, beloved ones, if we continue in the context and we look at the text, we will see that the Bible says, and the elders of Jabesh said, give us 7 days. They shouldn't even have been negotiating. Turn to your neighbor and say, have you negotiated with Nahash lately? Tell your neighbor, say, I'm not going to give in. The devil is not going to hear one word of compromise from me. I'm not going to entertain a thought of losing my ministry. I'm not going to entertain the thought of backing down on what God told me to do. That's not an option. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Turn to your neighbor and say, there is no option involved here. I know what God told me to do, and I'm going to do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, it doesn't matter how hard it is. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter what the enemy threatens to take from us. We're going to do it, and we can't be intimidated, because if he takes it away, God's going to give it back double. Oh, somebody ought to stand on it and give God the praise and say, I'm getting ready to get double back. The enemy is a liar, and we're not receiving it. Hallelujah, we're not receiving it. Oh, glory to God. And the Bible says, beloved saints, if we continue in the context, give us 7 days respite that we may send messengers unto all the coast of Israel. And if there be no man to save us, then we will come out to you. What kind of faith is this? Now, I want you to see, verse 4, then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. What is Samuel doing here? Samuel here is showing us a familiar spirit that has come back in the land of Israel. They lifted up their voice and wept. Turn to your neighbor and say, where have we heard these words before? We know exactly where we've heard these words before, where they lifted up their voice and wept. It was the same words that the spies came back with when they spied out the land of Israel and didn't want to go up and take the territory because they were intimidated by the giants. So that when they came back, they lifted up their voice and all of Israel wept all night, and that became the first Tisha B'Av. Are you with me, dear people of God? Do you understand? They lifted up their voice and they wept because they didn't want to go up and take the territory. The Holy Spirit is comparing in context the same type of attitude that the people of Jabesh Gilead, without any anointing, that means the people were like dry bones. They had no anointing. The sign that the anointing is leaving our life is when we have no more fight to take, to stand up against the enemy and allow him to freely come in and rob us of what we know God has told us to do. Are you hearing me? But the Bible tells us in this case of the spies from Numbers chapter 14, let's just look at it. In Numbers chapter 14, if we look at verse 13, the spies, when they came back with the evil report, turn to your neighbor and say, it's how you see it. Oh my goodness, do you realize that Nahash wanted to cut out their eyes because the enemy wants your eyesight to be distorted. He wants you to see it away outside of the kingdom. He wants you to have eyes that only see serving God in the flesh. He doesn't want you when trials come to see that it doesn't matter what the enemy tries to do to you. You're still going to press on and serve God no matter what. Go ahead and make my day. Hello, somebody. Say, that's what the Holy Ghost has been given to us for. Put your hands up right now and say, the Holy Ghost has been given to me to fight my battle. The Holy Ghost has been given to me so I do not give in. Because if we don't give in, we are going to receive double for our shame. And God is going to reward us, beloved. Notice, if we look and we see the book of Numbers, and let's look at the 13th chapter, Numbers chapter 13. I want us to see the very last verse in Numbers chapter 13. Let's just scroll it to the last verse. Numbers chapter 13, and we are going to see the very last verse, hallelujah. And the Bible says, verse 32, and they brought up an evil report on the land that they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land that we have gone to search is a land that eats up the inheritance thereof. And all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which were come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we there in their sight. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. The Bible says, then the spies that came with that evil report, the Bible tells us, and all the congregation lifted up their voices and wept all night. Do you realize this is exactly what was happening through the situation with Nahash? They were lifting up their voices and weeping because of the situation. But something is going to happen. Now, I want you to understand historically, this happens before Saul is actually inaugurated king. He's anointed king in 1 Samuel 10, but he hasn't been inaugurated king yet. This really is the sign that he's inaugurated with the anointing, because we're going to see, of course, Saul loses his anointing because he doesn't stay in the fight the way God wants him to fight, because he has been anointed for a constant win for Israel. Put your hands up right now and say, I've been anointed for a constant win against the enemy. Come on, I've been anointed for a constant win. Say this with me. It's impossible for us to be defeated because we have the spirit of resurrection living in us. Somebody ought to say the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead resides in us. Tell your neighbor, begin to start walking in the resurrection. God is going to give you a bounce back anointing. Oh, praise the Lord tonight. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Come on. Praise your holy name. Tell your neighbor, say, tonight I'm praying for you to be fortified. Tonight I'm praying for you to get your fight back. Come on. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm not taking this anymore. I'm not going to listen to Nahash. Nahash is a liar. It's a lying spirit from the pit of hell. And I'm not about to allow the enemy to take my ministry. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says the congregation lifted up their voice and they cried and they wept all night. Notice the very same words. It's an explicit expression. Hermeneutically, this would be called a Gezra Shavah, which means hermeneutically, this is exactly what Samuel meant when he wrote this. Verse 4, the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field and said, what aileth this people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. Notice it's not Jabesh Gilead, it's Jabesh. Oh my goodness. Because Samuel wants us to see the prophetic meaning of that name, which means dried up. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not dried up. I've got a fresh anointing. And the Spirit of God came on Saul when he heard these tidings. Hallelujah. And his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed it in pieces. What does it mean that he took a yoke of oxen and he hewed it in pieces? It's spiritually symbolic that when the Spirit of God comes on us, the bondage is broken. Stand to your feet right now and say, Holy Ghost, break the bondage right now. Break the bondage right now. Break the yoke right now. Break it off my life. Right now, let the Spirit of God come on me and break the yoke off my life. Come on, claim it right now before you're seated. Claim it right now. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Ask the Lord to break the bondage off, break the yoke. Ask the Holy Spirit. The only way the yoke is going to break is if the Spirit of God comes upon us. That's why we need the Holy Ghost to break the bondage so we can serve God the way He has called us to serve Him. Oh, I still feel a little bit of bondage in here. Come on, break the yoke. Come on, ask the Holy Ghost, break the yoke. You may be seated. Now, beloved saints, we know that it was a victory after that. That Nahash was just completely defeated. And Israel had a great victory because the Spirit of God came upon those dry bones. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 37 what Jabesh looks like. I don't want to be Jabesh. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't want to be Jabesh, and I pray you're not either. Ezekiel chapter 37 shows us what Jabesh, void of the anointing, looks like, what dry bones look like. The Bible says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel 37:1, and carried me in the spirit and set me down in the midst of a valley full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, they were very dry. Oh my gosh, goodness, there were very many and they were very dry. Verse 3 says, and he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered and said, O Lord, you know. Verse 4, and he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. For thus saith the Lord to these bones, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I want you to understand, breath is the same word as ruach, as spirit. It's only the anointing that can enter into our dryness to pull us up out of the pit into the promise of God. Hallelujah. They were dry because there was no anointing. They were dry because there was no breath in them. And so, beloved, we see in these powerful attributes of the anointing that the anointing, beloved saints, gives us power to overcome. The anointing, hallelujah, brings us the anointing oil that we are not robbed by the enemy. I have found my servant David with my holy oil. I have anointed him. The sun, the enemy will not exact upon him, neither will the son of wickedness afflict him. The enemy cannot rob us. Say this with me. The attribute of the anointing brings us to a place that the enemy cannot rob us in Jesus' name. Let's look very quickly at the second attribute. Hallelujah. The second attribute of the anointing. This second attribute of the anointing tonight that we are asking God for is that the anointing is the bondage-breaking power of God. Turn with me to Isaiah 45, verse 1. Say this with me. I want the bondage broken tonight. I'm not going to live another day in compromise. Oh, yes, beloved. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. What is this? The way that the grammar is used here is that it should say, thus saith the Lord to Cyrus, to his anointed. But it's not just directed only to Cyrus. Because if it was only to Cyrus, it would say, thus saith the Lord to Cyrus, to his anointed. But it says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. And that means that God wants everyone who is under the anointing to hear this proclamation of liberation against the powers of darkness. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Now look, beloved saints, at what verse 2 says. The verse 2 says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight, and I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Iron is always spiritually synonymous with bondage, because the anointing is the bondage breaking power of God. He's going to break the gates of brass. Say this with me. Doors are going to open. And brass is not going to keep them shut. God is going to break the gates of brass and open up for me, hallelujah, and break in pieces the bars of iron. Bars means you've been barred out of your destiny. You've been barred out of the place that God has ordained for you, but the devil is a liar. That door is going to break open, and those bars are going to break, because the anointing is going to break the yoke. Beloved, this is why in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, it says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Let me explain to you in a literal sense what this means. When you have two yoke of oxen, oxen are tied together in a yoke, and usually, you have to have two yoke that are even. Because if you have one on one side that's a very slow ox, and maybe it's a little wider and a little more plump than the other one, the other one's a little more feisty, it's got a mind of its own, then you're going to have a difficult time. Because what would happen is the yoke would be around the neck. And if an oxen had a very thin neck, it was the sign that, because fat for the ox is in the neck, it was the sign that this oxen has a mind of its own. Because when you plow it and turn it, it always goes the opposite way. If you tell it to go right, it goes left. If you tell it to go left, it goes right. So the muscles are used in the neck to thin the neck. And that's not a good sign. Do you know why? Because the fat in the neck represents the anointing. And so the oxen that just turns and doesn't use its muscles, doesn't try to turn the opposite way, but just complies. Turn to your neighbor and say, just comply to the Holy Spirit. Don't argue with the Holy Spirit. Come on, don't tell him you don't want to do it. Just yield. Just yield to the Holy Spirit. Because the neck will get fatter and fatter, and the yoke will burst from the anointing in the neck. Are you hearing me? Oh, wonderful Jesus, have mercy. So God wants us to be yielded. And that's how the anointing breaks the yoke. Oh, praise God. The third supernatural secret of the anointing is found in Ruth when she went down to the threshing floor. Go with me to Ruth chapter 3, verse 3. The Bible tells us that Naomi gave Ruth some instruction before she went into the threshing floor. She had to have the anointing on her in order to go down to that threshing floor, because the threshing floor changed her destiny. Turn to your neighbor and say, the threshing floor changed her destiny. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Ruth chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says, wash yourself therefore and anoint you. put raiment on you and get down to the floor. Do you realize when Ruth went down to the floor, her life of despair became a life of destiny after that? I want you to understand she came out. She didn't come out empty. Turn to your neighbor and say, if the anointing's on my life, I'm not coming out empty. God, this is a, beloved, this Ruth 3:3 is a transitional text in the Bible. Because up to this point, even though we see Ruth in her selfless love, we also understand she has had a very hard life in the sense she lost her husband, and now she's abandoned everything to take care of Naomi. And so she has nothing. She has come into that threshing floor with a very painful past, not knowing what's in the future. But after the anointing comes on her, she is transitioned into another place. As a matter of fact, she's not going to be known as a Moabitess anymore. Her title is going to change. And she is going to become Imahamalka, mother of royalty. She becomes the mother of the Davidic dynasty, because the anointing will take you out of your despair and bring you into your destiny. The fourth supernatural secret of the anointing is the anointing will bring you preservation in your tribulation. Say this with me. I need to be preserved when I'm going through a trial. But I thank God that he didn't leave me without the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will always be there to preserve you. I don't care what you're going through, you're going to come out ahead. I don't care what you're going through, you're going to make it through, because the Holy Spirit is the preserving power of God. He brings preservation in our tribulation. Hallelujah, he preserves us. What would we do if we didn't have the Holy Ghost? He's the one who goes in the fire with us. He's the one who comforts us in our affliction. He's the one who gives us the strength to stand. You may not feel that you have the strength to stand. You may not know how you're going to face tomorrow. You may say, my tomorrow is so painful, I don't even have the strength to face it. Oh, but I want you to know, beloved, there is one that has been assigned to you, the Spirit of Truth. Oh, somebody ought to give God praise, and he is with you, and he will never leave you or forsake you. He has been assigned to you. He is, hallelujah, the one who gives us the strength to experience preservation in our tribulation. This is seen in the life of Joseph. Joseph is a perfect example of preservation in tribulation. Genesis chapter 37, if you look at it and look at verse 25. When he was being kidnapped, in the action of being kidnapped, before they put him in the caravan, the text goes out of its way to tell us what's inside that caravan. The Bible says there came Ishmaelites, the Bible says, and they sat down to eat bread, and as they lifted up their eyes and looked, behold, a company of Ishmaelites from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery, balm, and myrrh. Why is the Bible going to go out of its way to tell us inside the caravan was spicery, balm, and myrrh? It is because the spicery and the myrrh represent the anointing. And the balm represents the way the Holy Ghost takes care of us when we're going through a trial. The anointing of the Holy Ghost takes care of us like the balm of Gilead. It heals our wounds. The Holy Spirit takes care of our wounds. It's as if, even though we're going through the deepest, darkest days of our life, he caused those days to be turned to destiny. Are you hearing me, beloved saints? Joseph had to go down to Egypt because it was God's will for him to become ruler over the land of Egypt. But in the meantime, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us divine preservation in the midst of our tribulation. And somebody ought to praise him. Yes, Lord. Oh, glory to God. And we want to see the fifth supernatural secret of the anointing. And the first supernatural secret of the anointing is the protection over your life. Say this with me. If I'm under the anointing, my family's protected. Turn to your neighbor and say, do yourself a favor. Do your loved ones a favor. Stay under the anointing. Come on, stay under the anointing because it's a shield. Come on, stay under the protective power of the anointing. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can't afford to get out from under the anointing because I got too much at stake. You see, the Bible says in Isaiah 21, verse 5, the Bible says, prepare the tower. Hallelujah. Watch in the tower. Prepare the table. Arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. Say it with me. Arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. Why does it say anoint the shield? Because the shield, the anointing is a shield. The anointing is a protective shield to hold you and protect you from the darts of the enemy. You see, some of us have got a little spoiled. We're so used to being under the anointing, we forgot what it was like if that shield lifted. We forgot what it was like without the anointing. But somebody ought to say the anointing has brought protection, not only for me, but for my loved ones. The anointing has been a shield. Hallelujah. This is why 2 Samuel 1:21, when David laments the death of Saul, the Bible says in 2 Samuel 1:21, David said, let there be no dew, and let there be, ye mountains of Gilboa, no dew upon you, nor fields of offerings. Hallelujah. For there the shield of the mighty is cast vilely away. The shield of Saul, as though he were not anointed with oil. David is attributing the massive wipeout in the valley of Gilboa and Saul's death to the fact that the shield was lifted off his life. He is in that lamentation saying, the reason he's slain in the valley of Gilboa, or the mountains of Gilboa, is because the shield of Saul was as though he were not anointed with oil. The shield lifted off his life, and now what was his destiny to win, he lost. Oh, my goodness. Oh, glory. I don't know about you, but we can't play around with getting out from under the anointing. The Bible tells us the sixth supernatural secret of the anointing, and we're getting ready to pray with you. The Bible says, the anointing causes us, beloved, to arise and take possession over the oppression of the enemy. And that is shown to us, beloved, how we have dominion over the enemy. Psalm 23, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You see, the anointing will always put the enemy at your feet. The anointing will always prepare for you a table in the presence of your enemies. You don't know right now. You might not be able to see it right now, but it's God's guarantee. It's written in his word. The Bible says, for this, hallelujah, I know that you favor me because you did not allow my enemy to triumph over me. Somebody ought to give God the praise and give God the glory. Hallelujah. Your enemy will not triumph over you. God will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And the seventh supernatural secret of the anointing is the anointing will make you dedicated unto death. See, some of us are afraid of giving our lives because we think we're doing it in our own strength. We don't know that the anointing has been given to us to lay our life down. So when it comes time for us to stretch, we start squirming. We start thinking, oh, somebody's going to take one more thing from me. What we don't know is if we didn't have the anointing, child, you don't even know where you'd be right now. It's not gonna hurt you to stretch a little. Especially if it's only for a few hours. But some of us have a very difficult time in stretching in love. And it's time we have to get out of the carnality. We have to become spiritually mature, dear ones. Spiritual maturity is not based on how many years you've known the Lord. because I know a lot of individuals, dear ones, that have known the Lord for many years. And they're some of the most immature believers because there's no sign of selflessness. What's the real sign of spiritual maturity? Selflessness. Pouring out for others without anything in return. Spiritual maturity based on not being seen a man, getting something out of it. Why is it in this generation that the anointing is not enough? Why is it in this generation that unless they get something for themselves, there's no interest whatsoever? Why is it that we think if we have to stretch a little bit for somebody else, that it's actually killing us? Because it's a sign. We haven't really received the anointing in fullness. Because the anointing gives us the power to lay our lives down to the death. And the sign of that is in Esther. The Bible tells us in Esther chapter 2, verse 12, that she was 6 months in oil of myrrh and 6 months in sweet spices. A whole year drenched in the anointing. And what does the text teach us after that? She's in a battle because she's asked to do something that's going to cost her everything she's got. And she's able to do it. She's able to pay the price. David said, I'll never offer to God that which did cost me nothing. It's a great price, and it's the price of total surrender of self and selflessness. The Holy Spirit needs selfless vessels in this hour because half of the battle is selflessness. Half of the battle against satanic power, if you are selfless, it cuts the battle in half. It takes the warfare, just cuts it down to just a stub. Most of the warfare is selfishness. So it's really not satanic power itself with satanic power, manipulating satanic power. But if the Holy Ghost could get a vessel that was just so selfless, oh my goodness, what would the battle be? Well, you try to insult that person, they don't get insulted because they're selfless. You try to tell them a few more hours if you don't mind. They say, sure, I'm doing it for Jesus. So anything he wants me to do, I'll be glad to do it. There's no battle there. Satan can't get you because they're totally dead to self. They say, well, you're not getting anything out of it. You just seem to be always overlooked. Which is a lie from the pit of hell, because most of the time that person gets more than anybody else. But I'll be overlooked, so I'm not going to do this. But a person who's totally dead says, I don't want to be seen anyway. I want Jesus to be seen. So how can, you know, the battle, everything in satanic power can't do anything because of the deadness to self. Are you following me? But when there is carnality in the house, the battle is all in the carnal. And the real warfare, they don't even have a clue about because they're too busy fighting the strife within their own selves. But if we could just be dead. I'll never forget, oh my goodness, where have the days gone? Never forget the day when at ORU, Miss Coleman had a call for all the students. Oral Roberts just adored her. He was so honored she'd come to ORU. She was the first person who got a doctorate degree honorary at ORU. Hallelujah. And she received it, something that she probably normally would not have received, but she loved Oral and Evelyn. And he was so honored to have Miss Coleman. Oh, my goodness. And she came to ORU to speak to the students, but that wasn't her mission. Her mission was the Mabee Center the day before. The Mabee Center was packed. Dr. Roberts talks about how the Mabee Center was even built on $2.38. They got the board together, and that's all they had together with all the board members, $2.38. And they asked the Lord, should we do it? Because they didn't have the money to build it. And sure enough, of course, Dr. Roberts always built everything by faith. And he said at that meeting, Miss Coleman, I think God wanted us to build the Mabee Center just for your meetings. And so Miss Coleman was there with the student body. And they were there from the whole school. And afterwards she said, we're going to have a service now. And I'm going to lay hands on you. And it's going to be a funeral service. Now, if that would have been said today, every single person would have exited. She said, we're having a funeral service today. Today, Johnny dies. Today, Mary dies. So that we died to self. Are you with me? And oh, how we see all those students running to the front. And Miss Coleman laying her hands. And she was saying right before her death, right before her homegoing, today Johnny dies, and Johnny would fall under the power. Today Mary dies, and Mary would fall under the power. And all of those that were willing to die to themselves, because if we are dead to self, the enemy has lost 90% of the battle already. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Yes. It's the flesh within the house of God that's not crucified. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live to the glory of the Son of God. Let us stand to our feet right now, beloved saints. Hallelujah, this anointing tonight. Oh God, we give you praise and we give you glory for the anointing. Raise your hands toward heaven. Lord, the seven attributes of the anointing tonight, we want to receive it. We want more of the anointing than we ever wanted in our life. Wonderful Jesus, we ask you for the power of the Holy Spirit to come over our life. Oh, Jesus, you're the only reason we're here, to love one another and to equip one another and strengthen one another and care for one another and take care of one another. The love in the body of Christ. Oh, Jesus, take our flesh and crucify it. Put it on the cross. It profits nothing. Jesus said the flesh profiteth nothing. It's absolutely worthless. Hallelujah. Paul said, no good thing dwelleth in my flesh. Hallelujah. Paul said, have no confidence in the flesh. Today we want to surrender that flesh to the Lord. Can you just say, Jesus, make me unselfish? Come on. Jesus, make me unselfish. Say, Holy Spirit, go ahead, check it out in my life. How many times an hour I think about myself? How many times an hour do I cry for myself? How many times an hour do I keep my eyes on myself? Help me out, Holy Ghost. Come on, tell him. Help me out, Holy Spirit. Help my mind and my heart be directed toward your heart, toward others. Because if I pour myself out for others, I'm going to have a joy unspeakable that this world cannot give. And I'm going to have the anointing without limit in my life. And 90% of our battles will be over. Because most Christians that call it spiritual warfare, it's not spiritual warfare, it's pure selfishness. Hello? I said it's pure selfishness. It's not warfare at all. If they ever had to go through warfare, they'd pass out. Because they don't know what the meaning of warfare is because they're so busy fighting their own flesh 24 hours a day. Put your hands up and say, Holy Spirit, let me get my eyes off myself. Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you what selfless looks like. Selfless looks like my husband that went to heaven. That's what selfless looks like. I can't remember in all the 46 years of being married to that man that he one time thought of himself. It was always thinking of everybody else. That's why when he was so sick with the afflictions that he had, he was so sick with those afflictions really couldn't physically completely take over him until it was time for him to go. Those that were close to us and lived among us and were constantly with saw that even in the ends of Papa's life, all he would say is, praise you, Jesus, all day long. Just praise you, Jesus. And I would think, oh, my God, Lord Jesus, help us. Help us. Let us have this kind of praise, God. Just every minute he's teaching and leaving legacy wherever he goes. Oh, karabashin da 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 ba shiria. Oh, glory to God, that even in that last testing that God gave us, that last testing, the Lord's Spirit is mind so he could give a cognitive answer. Laying on that bed of affliction, knowing that just suddenly he stopped eating, just suddenly, right before Bitty Bitty, right before the trip, suddenly, he was so strong, and suddenly out of nowhere. And I knew there's no way he's going to be able to go. And everything in me said, stay. And I knew what his answer was going to be. I knew exactly what his answer was going to be because I know him like a book. And I went and I sat next to him. And I said, babe, I have to go to Bitty Bitty, to a refugee camp that we have been working in. I had to bring it to his attention because of his situation. And I said, you tell me, do you want me to go? Or do you want me to stay? And he said, you go. And I said, can I ask you a favor? Do you promise me that you will wait for me till I come home? Yes, yes. And he said to me in Spanish, I will wait. And do you know he waited? I said, he waited. We cut the trip so short, we did only what was necessary. And when I came home, he was still cognizant. But within 48 hours, he was gone. That was his last sacrifice before he went to heaven. Somebody ought to give God the praise. That's what selfless looks like. We can all follow in that legacy. And we can all learn. Raising those hands right now. And saying, Jesus, I worship you. I give you praise right now. I give you glory. And I ask you now that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will fill me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Tonight we're receiving that legacy upon our lives. Tonight we're receiving that anointing to be selfless that Miss Coleman left us, that Papa left us. Oh, dear God, we give you praise. We give you glory. Let us not forget. Oh, God, let the anointing of the Holy Spirit come on us this Pentecost, that we will go forward into our callings to do what God has called us to do. Oh, karabashin da 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 bashiria. We worship you and we praise you and we adore you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise. Come on, give him praise. Give him glory. Give him honor. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.